PowerPoint up, that'd be lovely. I'm going to speak about anointing this morning. When you hear some people talk about anointing, it can sound a little bit vague and a little bit, super spiritual and not quite sure. People say, did you hear about the anointing here? Or, was there anointing on that? Or was that person operating? Was that worship anointed? You can almost be forgiven sometimes for thinking that we imagine anointing is almost the spiritual equivalent of pixie dust. Okay? So you know the story of Peter Pan. Yeah, Wendy and John and Michael are transformed from normal children living in a normal household because the fairy Tinkerbell sprinkles them with pixie dust. And instantly they can fly and they're transported into a magical world of fantasy and adventure. And it's possible, I guess, to fall into the trap of thinking about anointing in a similar way. That it's some sort of magic yet elusive ingredient that we are searching for and chasing after and waiting for God to sprinkle on us that will transform us from normal people into super Christians, transported into a world where there are 24 miracles every day before breakfast, where we fly around on a perpetual spiritual high, where we never have any doubts or never experience any trials or hardships. You know, fortunately, that is not what anointing is about. And so this morning, I just want to break down for us what I believe Scripture tells us about anointing. And it's something far greater and something far more wonderful than spiritual pixie dust. Why are we looking at this morning? Well, it's really in response to some things that God's been saying to us as a church over the summer. Those of you that have been around will know that we've been having a short series looking at a few key prophetic words that we felt God has spoken to us as a church. So the first one that we looked at was a picture of four waves that God said he was going to cause to break. And sorry, that black doesn't show very clearly, does it? But God was talking to us about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a wave of the Holy Spirit, then a wave of repentance, the Holy Spirit again breaking, and a wave of healing and restoration, and then a wave of salvation. And we spent 4 weeks looking at those things and the excitement of that promise and those promises from God about what he can do when his Holy Spirit moves in power in his church and in communities. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at this prophetic word. And I'll just read this one through to you. There is a new season coming to you and coming quickly, and it will be recognized by three main areas of simultaneous increase. The first is an increase in anointing. There will be an outpouring of anointing in healings, an anointing in worship and spirit activity, an anointing in prayer and tongues, an anointing in preaching, an anointing in proclaiming the gospel, and an anointing in signs and wonders. And there will be an increase in authority. Authority to see the kingdom here and now. Authority over the powers of the enemy. Authority over the places you live. Authority in prayer. Authority to do even more than Jesus did. And there will be an increase in visitations. Visitations of the presence of Jesus. Visitations in the fullness of the Spirit. Visitations of the holy presence of the Father. And visitations of angelic beings. And these visitations will usher in a season of holiness, worship, honor, repentance, and power. And over the last couple of weeks, we kind of worked in reverse order, not for a particular strategic reason, it was just the way it worked out. And Marshall looked at an increase in visitations. Bruce last week covered the topic of an increase in authority. And this morning, I want to look at what it means that God is promising an increase in anointing. In particular, those areas that were mentioned in that prophetic word. An increase of anointing in healing, sharing the gospel, the presence of the Holy Spirit in worship, preaching, and declaring Jesus as he wants us to. So what is anointing all about? What is anointing all about? Well, firstly, I think it's about two things in particular. Anointing is about the calling of God on people's lives, on our lives. And secondly, anointing talks about lives that are empowered and blessed and be made fruitful by God, by his presence and by his power. One follows the other in God's plans. One follows the other in God's plans. God calls us, and then God works to bring fruitfulness to our lives. He never does one without being ready to do the other. And both are by grace. Now, not by our design or by our effort, but by God's sovereign goodness. So we can be completely confident about both. Anointing is about lives called and set apart for God, and then God's empowering blessing and fruitfulness that follows. Firstly, anointing talks about a life or lives called and set apart for God. Just want to just briefly expand on that for a minute. It's not about a lifestyle choice or a decision of the human heart and mind. It's not something that's initiated by us. It's an act of God to place his hand on someone's life and forever change its meaning, its purpose, its course, its trajectory. And it's a recognition that my life used to be about this, but now because of God, it's gloriously about this. Anointing talks about God's indelible marker on our lives that says, by his grace, this is who God has called me to be. And this is what my life is now all about. Not because I deserve it, not because I've done something special to earn it, but purely because he has chosen me for this glorious purpose of living for him, to know him, to be filled with his goodness, and to follow and serve him. In the circumstances that I'm in the place where he's set me, with the people he's brought into my life, and with the gifts and the time and the resources that he has made available to me. Anointing is firstly about God calling very ordinary people, young and old, male and female, for very extraordinary purposes in him. Secondly, anointing is about the pouring out of God's empowering and blessing, the release of heaven's resources, and the promise of fruitfulness that God brings to bear in the life of each one he calls and sets apart for himself. You know, God has never worked by saying, I have this amazing purpose I need fulfilled on the earth. Now, who's the greatest, most gifted, most naturally charismatic person that I can choose who has the best shot at being successful about it, at it? In fact, we read in the Bible that God seems to choose those who are the most unlikely seeming, unsuitable maybe in our eyes, people for his purposes. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Paul reminds the church, what were you when God called you? You're nothing special. Nothing special about you other than God placed his hand on your life to set you apart for his purposes. Why does God do that? Why does God work that way? Well, firstly, because actually no amount of human gifting or personality can bring about the things that God has planned. Only God is able to do what he has purposed that he will do. Only God can save. Only God can heal. Only God can restore. Only God can bring life. Secondly, because our resources always come to an end, don't they? We always come to the end of ourselves. But God's resources never do. And lastly, so that none of the glory that is rightfully his be deflected in an unhealthy, wrong direction to other places and people. God chooses whom he chooses out of his sovereign grace, not because there's something special about us, but because God places his hand on our lives and calls us. And when he does that, when he anoints by placing a calling on our lives, he promises to also anoint by releasing power and blessing and resources and fruitfulness from heaven. Both parts of this anointing are by God's grace, so that those that he anoints are free to trust him, free to rest in him, and free to rely on him for all that they need. Now, we first see this principle of anointing in action in the Bible in the Old Testament, where God specifically anoints or calls for particular individuals or groups from amongst his people, and he calls them for lives of special service as priests, prophets, and kings. Those are the three groups of people that God calls to be anointed in the Old Testament. And they were marked out by a physical act of anointing with oil, not a tub of Castrol GTX, but a specially perfumed liquid that was made at God's instructions with a mix of olive oil and spices. And that was an act to demonstrate what God was doing in their lives, that he was setting them apart for a very special life of service and a demonstration in anticipation of what God was going to do to anoint and bless them as they followed him. It was a hugely significant deal. But actually, it was something that was only at that time for a chosen few. Not because the rest of God's people weren't special to him or loved by him, but because of this, it was at this point of God's rescue plan for his world to save us and restore us to relationship with him. At this point, Jesus hadn't yet come, and everything was still pointing towards Jesus. But then, the Bible tells us at just the right time, God sent his son into the world, Jesus, his chosen one, the Messiah, which literally means the anointed one. Jesus blew the doors off everything, didn't he? He came set apart by God to be the savior of the world, anointed by God, not by having oil poured over him by man, but being saturated and filled with the Holy Spirit by God the Father. Jesus himself, he stood up at the beginning of his ministry and, quoting from the prophecy of Isaiah, he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus was anointed to be the perfect fulfillment of all those roles of prophet, priest, and king. He was and is the King of Kings, the one who has been given all power and all authority by his Father to rule and to lead and to judge perfectly. He's the great high priest, isn't he? The one who demonstrated perfectly a life of worship from the heart and obedience to the Father, person who is uniquely able to draw people to the Father, to bridge that gap where we couldn't. And of course, the great high priest who was able once and for all time to bring a sacrifice, one of his own life, to bring forgiveness and cleansing to all who'd believe in him and repent. And Jesus, of course, was the perfect prophet, the word of God made flesh, the living, breathing message of God to a desperate world. Jesus not only perfectly fulfilled all these callings on his life, but he brought in a new era of God's kingdom where the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all those who believed in him and followed him, and a new era where all of God's people, not just a few, all of God's people would be anointed for lives of service. Anointed for that same prophetic, priestly, royal calling on our lives, with the same promise of empowering of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had for blessing and fruitfulness in his ministry. Where all God's people were anointed to know him, to not have to go through anyone else, but to know him for themselves, to enjoy God for themselves, to be full to overflowing with his presence, through him to live lives of worship and obedience that would perfectly satisfy us and make him known to those around us. Anointed to hear God's voice, to know his words and declare his greatness to the world. And given that same authority as we looked at last week, to minister in the power of heaven to release God's blessing and forgiveness and healing. So if you know and love Jesus, and you've responded to his call on your life to follow him, you are an anointed person. We are an anointed people. Every one of his church. We are an anointed people. 1 Peter 2 says this, speaking to the church at large, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, each one of us, called by God, set apart by him to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful life. The identity and the direction and the purpose and the meaning of our lives is transformed forever when we come to God through Jesus. We are anointed to a new calling on our lives. Each one of us, not just a few, not just leaders, not just to a few special types, because of Jesus, because he came, because he perfectly fulfilled those roles and that calling, because through him the Holy Spirit has been released to all believers. Each one who comes to Jesus is anointed with a new calling on their lives to follow Christ and to do the things that he did. And each one of us is anointed with the same promise of God of empowering and fruitfulness through the same Holy Spirit who equipped Jesus to do all that he did in the Father's name. Verse in 2 Corinthians. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Each one of us, you are an anointed people. If you have responded to the call of Jesus on your life, to give your life to him, to repent, to believe in him, to follow him, you are an anointed person. You have a calling on your life. You have been set apart by God for a very special purpose. And with the promise of God to work in and through you, to bring blessing and to empower you for fruitfulness. You're an anointed people. Jesus said this, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's the calling anointing on us. We didn't choose him. He chose us and appointed us to go and bear fruit that would last. And he said, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. That's the anointing fruitfulness. You see those two things coming together there? The anointing calling and the anointing fruitfulness. One follows the other. The calling is the work of God on our lives, the fruitfulness that he promises. The empowering, the blessing is also the work of God. Jesus didn't say, now I'm calling you, now, if you work really hard, you'll make a success of it. Instead, he said this, I'm calling you, now keep close to me. Remain in me, Jesus said. Follow me, learn to listen to my leading and dare to believe that I will do what I promise. And then wait faithfully and see what I'm going to do in and through your life. Stay connected, fruit will happen, Jesus said. It's grace from first to last. It's God's initiative. It's God's work. Apart from me, you can't do anything, Jesus said. That's a pretty accurate assessment, I think. And what were the results of this arrangement? Jesus said, we will bear much fruit because you're anointed, because God's called you, because God promises empowering and fruitfulness. And he said, this will be for the Father's glory because it's all the work of God the Father for his glory. For his glory to be seen across the face of the earth. And Jesus said, your lives will be filled with the same joy that fills my heart. You're an anointed people. We are an anointed people. An anointing of calling, an anointing of fruitfulness, because of the presence and the blessing and the glory of God amongst us. I found this verse in the Old Testament, which I just thought was fantastic. I'm going to put it up in a sec. It's a very well-known verse. It's about the calling of David and the anointing of David. but I'd never read it in the ESV version before. And it just blew me away when I read it this week. This is about David being called to be king, anointed by Samuel the prophet. It says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers." That's the anointing calling. And I love this bit. "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward." Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. I love that picture. Just love that picture. The call of anointing takes place on David's life, and it's like the Holy Spirit is a greyhound in the traps, bursting to be released to work through God's servant to make him fruitful. Anointing of calling, the anointing of fruitfulness. Do we believe that the Holy Spirit is rushing towards us? I hope so. I hope so, because we're anointed. God's placed his calling of anointing on us and his promise of fruitfulness. The Holy Spirit rushes towards those whom God anoints to bless and to bring fruit. David is suddenly no longer David the shepherd boy, the youngest of 12 brothers, not quite ready to shave yet. He's now God's chosen servant. He's God's king in waiting. He has a new identity, a new purpose, with the invisible hand of the Holy Spirit poised to work to unleash power and blessing from God on all that David puts his hand to. It's why just a short time later, David is still just a young boy, is able to face down and defeat Goliath. Not because David has a brilliant strategy, not because he's deadly accurate with a slingshot, although we know he was pretty good. Why? Why was he able to slay the giant with just a stone and a slingshot? Because he was operating in the anointing of God, in the calling of God on his life, and the fruitfulness of God's empowering blessing. I've heard Mike Betts, who leads Relational Mission, he's fond of saying that David could have been looking in the opposite direction and just flicked the stone over his shoulder, and it would have still slain Goliath. Why? Because it's not about his skill. It's not about his aims, not about his strategy. It's about the anointing of God on him. And all the time that David followed after God in faith and obedience, God continued to empower and make him fruitful, didn't he? And so it is for us. Now, the timing and the specifics of how God works and the blessing that he promises to bring, they're not always for us to know or to dictate. But we can trust God for them, because the Spirit of the Lord rushes towards those whom God anoints. So, to finish up, when God speaks to us about a new season of increased anointing, what does that mean for us? And some of those things that God has said, he wants to bring an increased anointing in healing, worship, the Spirit activity, the gifts of the Spirit amongst us. Preaching, declaring the truth of God, whether that's from a platform here or whether we're talking with our friends and our neighbours. Proclaiming the gospel and anointing in signs and wonders. Faith to pray for the sick, that they will be made well. To pray for the miraculous working and provision of God. So what does it mean for us, just in finishing off then? Well, firstly, very simply, this is for all of us, not just for a few. God has placed his anointing call on us all. We are all his royal priesthood. We are all called to declare his praises. It's not just for the elders, not just for your growth group leaders. It's for each one of us. We are an anointed people. And this should not fill us with fear, but fill us with confidence. Because God never calls anyone to be anything or do anything that he has not prepared them for and will equip them for. And it often takes faith and courage to step out in what God has called us to, but faith and courage are also gifts from God, and we can pray expectantly for those things. So God wants us to be expectant and ready for an increased anointing on us. What he's looking for is a people not who are trying to force themselves to be something that they're not, but are people who are remaining in him, listening to what he's saying about who we are and what he wants us to do, living in his grace, following him with obedient hearts, recognizing and living this truth that God has called me. God has called you. God has called us. We are an anointed people. And then, this is not a call for us to work harder. This is a call for us to believe and pray for God for more fruitfulness in our lives. If God is promising to bring us more fruitfulness in the areas of healing and worship, gifts of the Spirit, preaching, witness, signs and wonders, let's set our hearts to give God every opportunity to be able to release those things amongst us. And let's not be shy about asking. Let's get together next Sunday morning. Let's cry out to God. Yes, Lord. Thank you that you've called us. Thank you that you've placed an anointing of calling on our lives. Thank you that you have given us a promise of the release, of the empowering presence of your Son with us by your Spirit. God, would you do it? Let's ask expectantly and persistently that God would do it. What areas are you longing to see fruitfulness in your life? What areas do you want to see that anointing of God worked out in your life? What things are you wanting God to lead you into in new areas of anointing in? Maybe it's not new things even. Maybe it's just things that you've known God's blessing in the past. You know God's calling is on you for these things, but maybe you just feel like you've neglected them recently. I just loved Ruth's testimony earlier, just saying how she was just so eager to be able to share her faith with someone again, and God answered that prayer. Maybe it's in the area of prayer. You just feel, yeah, I've known God's blessed me so much in prayer in the past. Or maybe I'm just not knowing that at the moment. I'm not giving myself to that in the way I was. Or maybe the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe you had a time when you were excited about ministering in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you took steps of faith. You kind of launched out, but maybe you've not done that for a while. Maybe you just allowed that to grow a little bit quiet and a little bit cold in your heart. Maybe God's just putting his finger on and said, wouldn't it be great for you just to know that anointing again? Maybe it's an area of service. Maybe it's witness. Whatever it is, God comes and says, I've anointed you. I've anointed you. Be confident in that. Just want to finish with a couple of personal examples, and then we're going to pray together for a minute. One of the areas that I've really been praying to God for an increased anointing on my life is in the area of witness, just like Ruth. I'm saying, God, I want the opportunity to be able to share you with other people, to talk to you, to offer to pray for people who don't know you yet. That's something that's really been on my heart. And of course, I spend a lot of time in the church and around the church and with church people, but I've just had this real hunger in my heart. Lord, would you give me opportunities to do that? I know it's what you've called me to do, because you called each one of us to do that, to be your witnesses. So God, would you open up opportunities? And God's been doing it. And I spent some time the other week with a friend I know, get on really well with, doesn't know Jesus yet. And I've just been praying for him and saying to God, God, would you just give me very natural opportunities just to share you with him? I don't want our friendship to be all about I'm on a mission, I've got this project to share. I want to be a great friend, but God, would you just open opportunities? And I had an evening with this guy, and we did some sport and went for a couple of drinks. And we just got chatting. It was just really nice evening. And he led the conversation from start to finish. We were chatting about families, about kids, about being dads. And then he just led the conversation right onto faith and who Jesus was and what it meant to follow him. I just had an awesome time, just sharing my heart and my experience and my testimony of what it means to follow Jesus. That was wonderful. There was another opportunity, another guy that I've got to know a little bit recently, has come from a Christian background, but nowhere with God, not close to God. And I've had a chance to get to know him a little bit, trying to be intentional about that, making time to spend with him. And I've just had opportunities to just talk to him about what I believe, about who Jesus is. And a few weeks ago, I saw him in the distance. It wasn't an opportunity for me actually to speak to him. But as I was looking at this guy, I was just praying in my heart for him. And I felt God say in my heart, he's running away from me. I just had in my mind the story of Jonah come to mind. And I felt God say, here's a guy, he's running away from me. I thought, right, I'm not going to run up to him and tell him that. But okay, Lord. And I just continued to pray. And I just felt in my heart a sense that God was saying, I'm going to speak to him in dreams. Okay, God. Okay, so I prayed into that. And then I didn't see him. He went off. I went in a different direction. But I knew I was going to see him again before too long. So I started praying, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me just to kind of think about it, pray about it, or do you want me to say something to him? And I just felt very strongly that I should say something to him. Now, that took a bit of courage, because I was very well aware that I have the potential to look like a bit of a nutter to this guy if I go up to him and say, has God been speaking to you in dreams? But I really felt that I should. So next time I saw him, we got chatting, and, you know, chatted one or two things. And then it got to that awkward moment. Do you know, that pause and that feeling in my heart, if I'm going to do it, this is the time I've got to do it. So I took a deep breath. My heart said, okay, God, just give this to you. And I can't remember exactly the words I used, but I said, has God been speaking to you in dreams? That's kind of what I said to him. And the other guy looked at me and he said, I never dream. My head hits the pillow and I go straight to sleep. I've never, never dreamed. Oh, okay. But actually, what followed on from that was quite a good opportunity, which we then had the conversation developed, and I was able to talk about how I have experienced God speaking to me. Now, did I get that spectacularly wrong? Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't hear quite right. Does that matter? Actually, no, because I gave it to God. God was in it, and he used it. And actually, the bloke doesn't think I'm a complete... Well, maybe he thinks I'm a little bit odd, but he doesn't think I'm a complete nutter, and it opened up more opportunity for me to talk to him. Perhaps God is going to speak to that guy in a dream. And because he's never dreamed before, he doesn't dream, and because someone has come up to him and said, has God spoken to you in a dream? That's going to blow his socks off. Now, I don't know which of those two things it's going to be, because actually it's not always up for us to know or to dictate to God how he is going to bring fruit out of a situation. But he is. I believe it. And I believe that we are an anointed people because he has placed a calling on our lives to follow Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. And he has promised an anointing upon us for empowering and blessing and fruitfulness. And his Holy Spirit is rushing towards us as we just seek in our own simple, faithful way to be obedient and to follow him, that his Holy Spirit is going to continue to rush towards us and make us fruitful and bless us as we just continue to try and walk in obedience to God. We don't always know how that's going to happen, what that's going to look like, but we can be completely confident in that, because both those things are a work of God's grace. So let's stand together. And I just want us to, just where we are, respond to God in prayer. So just invite you to close your eyes. If you want to open your hands out to God, just as a sign of openness to him. Where are you longing to see the anointing of God's fruitfulness in your life? What's God been putting on your heart? Maybe in past weeks, maybe even this morning, as you've just looked at that prophetic word again. Might be something up there, might be something completely different. Where are you longing to know the fruitfulness of God's anointing in your life or for us as a church? We are an anointed people. I just want to invite you now just to ask God in the quietness of your heart to thank him for his calling and his hand on your life, and just to ask him for an anointing and a fruitfulness in your life in that area. And as you ask that, remember that God's going to give you opportunities to do it, so we need to be prepared to take steps of faith and courage, so maybe we need to ask him for those things as well. Let's take a moment now and let's pray with faith and expectation to our Father.